Welcome, everyone, to the Space Game Junkie Podcast. I, as always, am your co-host, Brian, and joining me, as always, is your co-host, Jim.
Howdy-ho!
And welcome
to... Oh, wait,
no,
Christmas is over.
Yeah, thank God. I love Christmas, don't get me wrong, but it's exhausting, and so I'm kind of happy it's over. Even with the time off, I'm kind of happy it's all over. But yeah, welcome everyone to 2014. Hope you all had a great Christmas holiday and a great New Year, or if you don't celebrate Christmas, a great December.
And for those of you who are cold, it's really cold.
Oh, it's like half of the country is frozen today, or most of the country is like freezing.
Yeah.
Today, is it cold over in North Carolina?
I saw a tauntaun in the backyard.
Oh my God, it's really that bad.
There's no snow, but it's really cold. This is the first time that we've seen single digits in 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah.
And I heard it's fine. I heard the Southern Hemisphere is having a record heat wave.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I heard like in
Australia.
Like South America and Australia, yeah.
That must be terrible to be that hot and standing on your head.
And have those big Australian spiders.
Oh, God. I bet they're out in force.
Oh, I don't even...
Spider bears.
So, folks, we thought we'd talk a little space games, a little non-space games today. We're going to take a look back at 2013, some of the games released that we did play and maybe some we didn't. Just talk about, you know, overall, 2013 was kind of a year. Really.
Yeah, I don't want it to turn it, because I'm looking at the list, right?
Yeah.
And there was some great expansions that came out. And
yeah.
Then
Just
there are some
Shadows,
yeah,
and the Ancients.
And there are some awesome games that are in the works, right? I would say
really good indie games that came out.
There was. In fact, my game of the year is an indie game.
Return of the Pixel Frazzer.
Yes. That is absolutely game
but,
of the year.
But yeah, I know where you're going. The year was marred by some really just shitty, shitty stuff.
Let's get that out of the way. X-Rebirth, Star Drive.
Yeah, X-Rebirth, Star Drive.
Dawnstar.
Yeah,
Dawnstar's bad. Bad.
Those are the big ones. And yeah, those are really just, they kind of soured the whole, like, they kind of dragged me down.
Yeah, and then there's weirdness, right? Oh, yeah, let's not forget Space Force Constellations. I want to give that honorable mention. In the
And there was a lot of good stuff, though. I mean, Space, of course, Return of the Pixel Frazzer was great, and Void of Darkness is looking pretty good. I've been playing a little of that. Ring Runner's fun.
Yep.
You know, and
there was an AI War expansion.
Yeah, I played a bit of that. That was great.
Must we mention Distant Worlds again? Must we?
It kind of goes without saying that's awesome. I had to resume my review of it, but
yes, yeah. The Shadows.
But they have Endless Space Disharmony, which made the game worse.
No,
it did.
I like it more.
No, you're wrong.
Okay.
I thought it, well, look, in my experience, it made the single player game worse. I don't know about multiplayer because I don't like
it. It's different. They changed a lot of stuff in the weapons, right? And I was reading on their forums because I got to that level with the game where it's like, okay, I need to go read the forums and understand how the combat system really functions. So yeah. there's some balance things that they did because it used to be like missiles are all long range and the ballistics are all short range, and then lasers are medium range, right? So if you want to be in that bracket. Well, then they changed it so that you can make long-range kinetics and short-range missiles. Well, the problem is if you make any short-range guns anymore, your ships are probably going to be dead before they get a chance to shoot them. So it's best to make everything long-range and just shoot the whole fight. You know, you lose some accuracy, but you start hitting early. And so that kind of – well, that – and they changed the missile dynamics because they have the chaff launchers on the ship. And one ship can block four ships' missiles with chaff. So you can have one that's like an Aegis frigate that just defends the fleet, and it will block the incoming missiles. So missiles are pretty neutered. So it really comes back to – when I played the game, you know, the vanilla game, it was all about kinetics. And now it's all about kinetics. So they didn't really change anything in that, but
okay.
Yeah. but anyway. Let's see what else. There's gratuitous space battles outcasts. I was unaware of that until I just saw it on the list.
Yeah, that came out I think around middle of the year, and I suck at that game. It's a great game. I just suck so badly at it.
I just throw ships out there and watch them explode. And
it is fun, but you want to win once in a while, and I just don't. I don't know. Maybe I just don't have the patience to set up a good fleet, but it's like, I keep losing.
I just have no idea how to play that game. But
it's fun, and it deserves a review. It's kind of depressing because I keep sucking so badly at it. Same with Ring Runner. That's kind of where I am with Ring Runner. I am horrible at it. Absolutely terrible at it. It's not a bad game. No. It's not like too difficult or anything. It's actually fun to play. I just really, really stink at it. Yeah. And you get to a point where they added this thing that lets you skip missions if you keep failing at it, which is good. Yeah. But it's like after a while, the repeated failures, you're just like, I don't want to play this for a while. You know?
Yep.
I would have played something where I'm actually decent at it. I'll load up TIE Fighter. Did you see the video, by the way, the latest one?
No, I saw that it was up. I have not yet watched it.
I had one of my finest moments in TIE Fighter ever.
Oh, really?
In that video.
Was it extra giggly?
You should get a little giggly. I screamed and clapped. It was that great. Do you want me to tell it to you, or do you want to just watch it?
I don't think I could watch that, so go ahead and tell me.
Oh, basically, like, I was in a TIE Advanced, and I was supposed to protect these TIE Defenders going into a containers or something. And so I failed the first time because I hadn't played in a while and I didn't have the situational awareness down. But the second time I was using my wingmen correctly. I was using the stored targets correctly. And after the primary mission was done, I was told I could leave or shoot down the rebels. So I'm like, you know what? I'm having a good time. I'll just keep shooting down the rebels. And it was like 6 A-wings. And you know how I feel about A-wings.
Oh, yeah.
I just kept shooting them down. And at one point, a Nebulon B frigate on my side shows up. So the two remaining A-wings that were left start heading for hyperspace. I was like, what? No, you cowards. So I ran after them, and I shot down one. And the other one had like 20 seconds left before it was going to jump. So I took all the power off shields, put it all to engines, and got close enough where I could shoot missiles. And 2 seconds before it was going to jump, like 2 or 3 seconds, it blew up
because
of the missiles. That felt so and not only that, but there was a secret bonus mission I didn't even see where you get bonus points for destroying all the rebel craft, and so I did.
Hotness.
It felt so nice. It was a really great way to start the year, I thought. Really, yeah. Just really solid way to start 2014.
You know how I started the year?
How'd you start the year?
At 12:01, I uninstalled X Rebirth. and I cheered and clapped.
You still had it on your machine? I was going to say, did you uninstall it ages ago? Like right after the podcast?
That was my version of dropping the ball.
Start the year off right.
I uninstalled X Rebirth and kissed my wife. And
in that order?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That game, there was so much hype for it. People were so excited. I was one of them.
Yeah, those unlucky few who pre-ordered.
I was tempted. Mm. I was tempted, but I usually try and get a press copy if I can. And when I sent my maybe third or fourth press request to the third or fourth email I'd found and still heard nothing, like, maybe I should see how this turns out before I buy the game. And I'm so glad I didn't. So glad.
So there's some things on this list that I've never heard of. Well, I looked at Fleet Buster. That's apparently that tower defense thing that you bought.
Yeah, that's what we talked about the last. I just – folks, this is going to be in the show notes, but I tried to scrounge up a list of the games that were released in 2013, and there are several that I hadn't played. I've heard of all of them, but I hadn't played. Like New Orbit I haven't played, Master of Tactics I haven't played, Tactical Space Command I haven't played. I have to get some of these.
Still. You know the one game that's not on your list?
What's that?
Is Iron Sky Invasion.
Oh, that came out last year, didn't it?
Yes.
I'll add that to the list right now.
So I have to tell you.
Did you get it?
Yeah.
Oh, and?
Well, I didn't get it. I got it on the Steam thing, right? So,
right.
However, after the Steam sale, it's back at full price, $39, and I was like, oh my god! It's like one of those budgetware titles that you would find in Walmart. That's just like in a Ziploc bag, you know? Right? Really? I mean, it's like so. Well, the game has good production value. I'll say that for it. And I really like the movies that the Iron Sky team made. Right? They made Space Wreck and then Iron Sky, and they've done some other side projects. And I will say, have you ever seen Star Wreck? Rather.
I've never seen Star Wreck. I heard it's really amazing.
Star Wreck, if you just skip the parts where there's people on the screen.
Yeah.
Because the acting in that game, it reminds me of the old Red Alert games, right?
Oh, no.
Does that put you in the right
– I know exactly you can what you're talking that. About. Okay. Yeah, no.
Right. Exactly. So it is identical to the old Red Alert games. But the space stuff is amazing. It's worth buying the damn DVD just for the space crap.
That's what I heard. In Star Wreck, you mean,
yes.
Right? That's what I've heard, yeah.
Because what they did is it's Babylon 5 versus Star Trek Next Generation.
Yeah.
And it is amazeballs. It's great. So – and as long as I just, you know, I turn it over to like Swedish or Norwegian, whatever language there, and that way I don't have to hear what they say, and that eases the pain. There's hot chicks in it. That's okay.
If they're but, Swedish.
Yeah. Some are green. So, you know, but anyway, it's really, really good sci-fi graphic stuff, you know, the animation. And Iron Sky is the same way, right? With Moon Nazis. Dude, Moon Nazis. How can you go wrong? And Sarah Palin's the president.
I couldn't get through 20 minutes of that movie.
I know. Once again, you have to, like, just turn off the audio and just, you know, suffer through the people parts. However, the game is bad. It's bad on a scale of, okay, like the first mission, I bailed. I didn't finish the first mission because you're in something that's I guess it's in the movie, right? I haven't watched the whole movie, but it looks kind of like a space shuttle, but the nose opens up like a flower, and there's apparently guns in there or something, but you can't rotate the view around the ship. You're always behind it. So you undock from a star base and then fly over, and there's a giant Nazi space zeppelin that's towing an asteroid. Right. And you go up there and it has a ton of full motion video cutscenes that cannot be skipped because really want you to see this. Yeah. And I was beating the escape key, like, save me, Jesus. And finally, so that ended. I think I like left, went to the bathroom, made a sandwich, came back, and it was finally over. So then I'm flying the ship around, and it's mouse control, and it's pretty decent. And it's actually an Xbox game. You can buy it on Amazon or whatever, but it's a region problem with that because it was only released in Europe for the Xbox. And that's why you can't find it here. But it did come out on Steam for that outrageous $39. if it was $5, I would say, get it, right? But anyway, so what happens then is I'm flying around this Nazi Zeppelin, and I'm like, this is going to be great, right? Because it looks really cool, and they stuck to the vision of the movie. And it's a really well-done game engine, so this is going to be good. And then it launched Nazi UFOs, and then the Nazi UFOs, well, they're freaking impossible to hit, right? And then they just, like, fly around, and they're not really shooting at me. And, you know, so I just have, like, these UFOs that are bumbling around space, and I'm trying to shoot them down, and I'm having a frustrating time killing them, and they're not even shooting at me. And it's just like, no, just say no. So they lost me right there. But there is a deal where there's a Korean space station or something, and they give you an upgraded ship. At some point I was watching a YouTube video, and the upgraded ship looks pretty badass.
Mm.
So that's kind of cool. But I don't think I could stand to play it long enough to get to that. Sorry.
No, that's
– good idea though.
That's understandable. It's kind of weird to have a movie tie-in to a movie that really –
yeah,
not
movie,
a lot of people saw.
Well, yeah, it's amazing. Like, it got on the Xbox. Really? You know, like 5 people saw that movie, and it had a pretty high production value game developed with it that I had no idea existed until I saw it on Steam, and I was like, what the hell is that? You know, like, can it really be? And it was. But, you know, unfortunately, game's as bad as the movie. So, there's that. Yes.
So, yeah, just the year. I mean, thank God for the indies. They kind of balance out the...
Yeah. So what was the scoop on Solar War? I've not seen that.
Solar War's kind of a tactical combat defense game where aliens invade the solar system and you have to fight them off. And I've only played a few missions of it, but it's fun.
Yeah.
I mean, and so, yeah, just about every indie game I've played this year, which is – I played a little Kaiser Earth. I played a little – I played some Ring Runner, some Solar War.
You didn't play Master Tactics, did you?
I haven't played that one yet.
I watched the YouTube video. I suggest that you watch a YouTube video of it.
That trailer you showed me was entertaining.
Yeah, it's it harkens back to Master of Orion 2.
It actually reminds me more of Spaceward Ho.
Okay, sure.
It kind of reminds me of that kind of feeling, like, woo, you know, it's conquer some planets. But yeah, there's some other games. Like, apparently Dawnstar was pretty good.
Nope.
It wasn't?
Nope.
You played it?
Yep.
And it wasn't good.
It was pretty boring and floaty and weird.
I still have to play it at some point.
Yeah.
But wow. But yeah, so there were some good indies, you know? Like, yeah, you know, I don't know if we have a Game of the Year award, but I think the biggest surprise was that
Pixel
Space Pixel Frazer. Yeah, that was
shocking.
Amazingly pleasant surprise. That was probably the biggest surprise of the year. The biggest pleasant surprise of the year.
Right, and you tricked me with it because you knew I liked it. So then we played the demo, and I have been hardcore. I will not install Green Eggs and Ham. I will not install Desura, Sam I Am. And and then you bought me that game, and it's like, damn it, now I got to install Desura.
And Desura is pretty great.
It's okay.
Yeah, it doesn't get in the way. It's not really bothersome. It just loads, and it's like, hey, we got games for you. Or not. Yeah,
and there's some stuff that's free on there, right?
So, yeah.
And it's a great disappointment to me, actually. The one game that was free that I was like, oh, yeah, because somebody made a racing game that's like an endless racing thing where you're hitting targets, and then you hit a button. Yeah, I think that's it. And then you hit a button and you transform into a robot that can fly, right? And I'm like, how can this be bad? And it looks great, but whenever I fire the game up, it starts, but I don't get I just have a black screen. But I can hear it, and it sounds really good.
You want to hear something really sad?
Hmm.
Because of you, I just installed War Thunder. We'll get to that in a minute, folks.
Delicious.
Every time I launch it, it minimizes itself.
It hates you.
Every time.
I don't know what that's about.
I don't either.
Hmm.
I don't either. I just actually installed new drivers and shit, so I'm going to launch it right now and see if it does it again. But maybe if I choose a different resolution. But anyway.
Choose your New Year's resolution.
New Year. I didn't make one.
Really?
Did you make one?
My New Year's resolution is 1900 by 1200.
Oh, hey, it's staying up. It's staying. Yay, never mind.
Good.
Okay.
We're going to play some of that. We're going to play a lot of that.
I guess installing the new NVIDIA drivers did the trick.
Yeah.
But it's kind of interesting what just a year 2013 was. I mean,
I know, right? Like lost all of your money in Star Citizen. It's like going to Vegas. You took your life savings to Vegas.
That's an interesting piece of news, how much money that made. I think it ended the year with $35
million. Wow.
I think. Yeah, it's still going.
Dang.
It's still freaking going.
Did you get that $10,000, like, ultimate idiot package?
Yeah, of course I did, because I have 10 grand to spare. Yeah.
I think it's a tax shelter, actually. Because, like, can't you write off your gambling debt?
It's your own space island / tax shelter.
No, seriously, man. If you go to Vegas and lose your ass, you can write off your loss, right? So you should be able to – wow. I don't know, man. Maybe the mob. Dude, that's it. That's it. That's where all their money's coming from is the mob is laundering – the mob is laundering money through Star Citizen.
Space mob.
That's what it is, dude. It's like – it's like – what's that – in Jersey,
Sopranos?
No, the casino place in Jersey.
Atlantic City.
Atlantic City. That's it. So all the Atlantic City boys are pushing millions.
Have you ever been to Atlantic City?
No, I haven't. I heard it smells like garbage.
It's a shithole. It's an absolute shithole.
There's one thing that I want to see in New Jersey, and it's the Starlux Motel.
What's that?
You just have to Google it. But it's a fine example of 1950s Googie architecture, which I'm amazed. Okay, imagine if they made a motel that looked like the Jetsons lived there. That's it. Starlux, Starlux.
I'm trying to – let me see. Okay, I found a – oh, okay. This looks amazing.
I know, right?
This looks – oh, I love
it. It's in Wildwood. That's the only reason –
I've been to Wildwood many times.
They have in the back. See, you can get a regular room, right?
Yeah.
Which with optional tiki bar, or you can stay out back in one of the Silver Bullet campers because they totally have Silver Bullet campers.
They also back. Have they also have cottages apparently.
Yes, bungalows.
Oh my god!
I know, right? I love that shit.
It's kind of amazing.
I cannot get enough Googie stuff. That's why I like bowling so much. I mean, look at your average bowling alley. Dude, Big Lebowski. Like did you see it? Did I send you a link? The Big Lebowski Pinball? BigLebowskiPinball.com. Yeah, they're doing a Big Lebowski pinball table. They're not showing it yet. You can pre-order it if you got an extra, like, $2,500.
My girlfriend is huge into Big Lebowski, so...
Oh, really? Well, we got to talk.
And I have a friend who's actually gone to Lebowski Fest like several years in a row. He actually has the sweater,
yeah,
and everything. He's a little crazy about it.
Hey, nice marmot.
You know what? I didn't like that movie at all the first time I saw it because I thought the plot was stupid. The characters are unlikable. It took three watchings to finally get it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this isn't about the story. This isn't about the characters. This is about putting these ridiculous people in ridiculous situations and seeing what the fuck happens.
I know. I found that the nihilists really tied the whole movie together.
We believe in nothing. She cut off her toe. Yeah, it was.
Oh, my God. You want a toe? I can get you a toe. That's the finest work that John Goodman has ever done. Really.
I don't know about that, but, I mean, he's been a lot of fun.
I would like to see the StarQuest guys do the Space Lebowski. That would be... I have to get Chris Pope on the phone. Just a minute. Chris, we have an idea.
Anyway.
Yes.
Now, that was like one of the big news pieces is how much money Star Citizen freaking made.
Yeah, and Gearbox got Homeworld, and Stardock got Star Control. Star Control,
yes.
Which there was news about that we haven't spoken of.
Well, yeah. They've announced, announced a new Star Control.
A prequel.
Yeah, a prequel to Star Control 2.
Yeah. So I guess it's going to show how we got into that awful situation.
But you want to hear something funny? On the comments today, someone was like, yeah, in terms of Star Control-like games, isn't Starflight a Star Control-like game? I'm like,
Oh my God, I just had milk coming out of my nose, and I'm not even drinking milk.
Oh, God. It came out like 7 years, but not seven, but like years before. Ah!
Yeah, and then, no. Let's just settle that. No.
Kills me. Answer. Kills me.
So Good Old Games got all, not just all, but all of the Wing Commander games.
Yeah.
And LucasArts got gone.
Yeah, that was one of the sad points. Yeah. That was one of the sad points.
Rogue System got a publisher.
Yeah.
I think it was us that did it for him. We pulled him through.
I don't know about that, but...
No, I'm into self-aggrandizement.
Okay.
It's the new year.
It was all us then. It was all right. Us.
We have to build it up before we tear it down. So,
okay, so it's all
us. We're starting out to 2014. What year is it? God, how long are we going to do that? Like, I haven't written the date yet. In 2014, so
I was shocked on my rent check. I wrote it right off the bat. Like usually, I totally fucked that up, but I wrote 14 instead of 13 right off the bat.
You should start writing star dates. Like it should be legal. Yeah, China got out of the Bitcoin market.
What?
Yeah, you didn't hear about that.
There is a Bitcoin market.
Oh my God, dude! Like we should have my buddy on. He actually bought machines to mine Bitcoins.
What? Right.
Yeah, totally. Because, and then there's alternate coins now. Like, there's Litecoin, which is up and coming, and then there's Dogecoin, which is actually like a joke meme thing, and then it turned into real money. Yeah, so foreign banks are actually buying these things because it's they're speculating in the electronic currency market. The banks are in it now.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and that's why it's – dude, you should look at the curve of what Bitcoin's been doing. Okay, no. So a couple years ago, people would buy a pizza, right? Do you remember like the story? Like, oh, yeah, Domino's accepts Bitcoins in my town, and I bought a pizza for 2 Bitcoins. Yay. Well, a Bitcoin's worth about $1,200 right now. Or, okay. Well, it was at its peak. Let me see what it is right now.
This just sounds so ridiculous, all of it. Every bit of it sounds ridiculous.
Yeah. It fell. 1 Bitcoin's $854 right now, U.S.
Why?
Because pizza was very popular. I don't know. Well, it's a cryptocurrency, right? So there is a finite number. What they ought to do with it, okay, you remember the whole folding at home and SETI at home where people would take like pieces of a task and then their computer in its spare time would crunch numbers.
Oh, like, yeah. Answer.
Right. It's the same exact thing, okay?
What?
Except that when you actually solve a puzzle, that puzzle is a Bitcoin and it's worth money, right? It's of no benefit to anyone.
What?
Other than being currency. Yeah, because what they should be doing is solving additional numbers at the end of pi. They could be advancing mathematics by having how many people, like the global supercomputer that is all of our screensavers, could be calculating pi out to the gazillionth digit. And then like every digit you get on pi is a coin. They could call them pieces of pi. I don't know. But anyway, yeah, that's what's going on. So there are people that will buy, and this is going to actually affect the GPU market, all right? Because people will buy the biggest GPU cards that they can because there's programs that will crunch Bitcoins on a graphics card because the graphics card is hella faster than doing it with your Intel i7.
What?
Yeah. So there's people that have boxes with like 4 or however many like giant video cards, you know, these $600 NVIDIA cards. They're cramming them as many as they can into a box, and they're trying to mine money with it. Yeah, totally. So I have a new strategy. What I've done is I bought 10 Wiis, and I've got all the Wiis wired together, and I'm mining Mario coins. And I'm not sure if it's true, but I hear that if you get 100 of them, you get an extra life. So I'm going to live forever.
Or
immortality.
You sure it's extra life or second life? Did you make sure of that?
No, it's not Linden dollars.
Okay. Or Linden bucks or whatever.
Linden bucks.
Or whatever the fuck they are.
Dude, last time I was in there, I saw a
You've played Second Life?
I was accosted by a walking penis that was wearing a strap-on woman. It's like the that game. What?
Is it a game? Is it a game?
I don't know if you'd call it. I would call it a freakadelic sandbox where people can just make anything. It was big for a while. I haven't been in there in a couple of years. But there was one place that I would go to that was actually like a techno nightclub, right? And I went there for the music because it was great. And yes, you could just stream it, you know, like go to Shoutcast or whatever and listen to the stream. But there was actually a DJ in Second Life in the virtual bar, and they're spinning music, right? And then there's all these people that are in there, and they'll set their avatar on dance or whatever, and then it's kind of like a chat room kind of thing. But you can make all kinds of stuff, and there was actually an economy where if you made things in the game, you could set up a storefront and sell them.
I've heard of that. I've heard of like real estate being sold for real money.
Yeah, real estate, but that was the sensational stuff that made it into like Newsweek. But the real deal was like people that were selling like new skins for your avatar or clothing. Or I have a
for real money.
Yeah, for real money. I have a banana suit that I wear in there. It's a cartoon banana.
What?
I'm sure it's still in my inventory if I logged in. Yeah, and then I also have one that looks like a caterpillar. That is like smoking a bong. It's, you know, like from Alice in Wonderland. It's a caterpillar with a hookah. And yeah, it's fun, right? But it's I don't know. I think that's time has passed. because that game was so obtuse to build things in, and it's super clunky. So it just couldn't hold my interest. But if they brought it up to a modern engine, I might be into that. It's not. See, have you ever read Neuromancer?
No.
Well, good night. Oh, my. Seriously? Okay, you've seen the movie Johnny Mnemonic, right?
Unfortunately.
Okay, so William Gibson wrote. Here's a better movie for you. Do you like Willem Dafoe?
Yeah.
Of course you do. Do you like Christopher Walken?
Well, you know I do.
Well, then you need to watch New Rose Hotel.
New Rose Hotel.
Yes, which is also a William Gibson story. So the story of New Rose Hotel.
What
is
the what?
Yeah, there's these two guys, and they're kind of swindlers, right? And they come up with this plan where they're going to get this guy from a biomedical firm. He's like some genetic scientist genius guy that does like cyberware. And they're going to get him to defect from one company in Japan to this other company, like in Germany or somewhere, right? Mm-hmm. So they're gonna get him to switch allegiances. But the thing is, he's like property of this company, so they have to figure out how to smuggle him out, and he has to want to go. And what they do is they find this girl, and it's almost like what was that Eddie Murphy movie, Brewster's Millions, where they took a poor guy off the street and turned him into like a high society guy?
It was Richard Pryor, but yeah.
It was Richard Pryor? Okay. Yes. So it's kind of like that, right? So they take this girl, and she's like a stripper / prostitute or whatever.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And they groom her to be a high society girl, and then they send her in, and the whole deal is to get the scientist to fall in love with her, and then she can talk him into defecting.
Okay.
And then things get complicated.
It wasn't before that.
But
it wasn't complicated before.
Oh, it's a delightful movie. The end is kind of like, I wasn't completely satisfied with the end of it, but then I watched it again and I was like, I'm okay with that. But the William Gibson thing, it was a short story. It was probably like 10 pages long, and they expanded it out into a movie. But it's fairly faithful to the thing, but it has absolutely the best Christopher Walken line ever.
Really?
Yes. They're in a restaurant and they're celebrating, and he's like, "Waiter, coleslaw for everybody." Delivered as Walken.
Waiter, coleslaw for everybody. Something like
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Yes. And I was I clapped and went woo like really? You do whenever you do your TIE fighter thing. No. Not at all.
It's only 93 minutes long. Okay.
Yeah, it's a short, but it was a 10-page story, so.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. That means if it sucks, it's not more than 2 hours
or so. And it's got Asia Argento in it. Not hard to watch.
I don't really know who that is. I was looking.
You will
I'm
when
looking
you're done.
I'm looking at it on IMDb, and I don't really recognize her or really anything
she's been in movies. Yeah, she's not been in anything super huge, but
the only one I recognize is that Triple X movie with Vin Diesel. That's the only one I recognize.
Yeah, so she operates in that circle.
Mm.
But anyway, it's a good movie. You should watch it. But about your lack of Neuromancer. All right, so the whole deal. Did you watch Elysium?
No.
Okay, Elysium's pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah, Elysium and Neuromancer. I'm gonna blow people's minds that have seen it. It has the exact same plot as Neuromancer.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Huh. So, well, pretty damn close, right? There's a guy, and the only way that he can fix his broken physical condition is to go up to the space station and do nefarious hacking things, right? Huh. And the journey there is different, but it's a very similar story, actually. I would say it's inspired by... It's almost like how all elves and dwarves stuff that came after Lord of the Rings, you can trace it back, right? You know, it's like, obviously that's the point of origin.
Sure.
And I look at Neuromancer that way. For the entire, since the year 2000 onward, the world has been inspired by the book Neuromancer. Yeah.
And, that's when it came out, yeah.
Yeah. Basically, well, no, it was early, man. It was like late 80s, early 90s, something like that. But anyway, so in Neuromancer, there's a guy named Case. By the way, if you've not been exposed to it, there's a BBC radio drama that was done of it, and that's really good. It's floating around the web, right?
Okay.
And it takes this book that would be like, you know, 10 hours of listening and bakes it down into a 2-hour radio play. And that's good enough. You get it, right? But there's – okay, so it's basically like the super rich people live up in the space station and they never get old because they're in suspended animation all the time. Kind of like in that vampire movie. Crap. What was that string of vampire movies with the lichens and the vampires and the Underworld?
Underworld, yeah.
Kind of like that. You know how like the vampires would be in torpor for years and then they would wake up in shifts, right? So it's like the family members wake up in shifts, right? It's like, oh, it's time to thaw out Uncle Bob and he can run the mega corporation for about 10 years and then we'll freeze him again and wake up Aunt Sue, right? But they also have like a frozen space ninja. He's like some cybered up, genetically engineered space ninja that is their attack dog. There's space Jamaicans. Those guys are actually the most entertaining thing in the book. Yeah, because they heard the voice of God, or Jah, right, was in space. So like all the Jamaicans went up into space. And
what?
Yeah, and they're the shuttle pilots. Dude, that's why I'm saying, like, I'm aghast that you haven't read this book, because it's like, oh my god. I know. So, anyway, so he has to sneak up there, because they have this computer worm, and he's like the best hacker that has ever been, but he got busted, and when they caught him, they, like, screwed up his nervous system so that he couldn't hack anymore, because it's one of those, like, you plug the computer into your head and, like, fly into cyberspace, right? So they screwed him up so he couldn't do it anymore. So these guys from the military come to him and say, hey, we want you to run this one job to get up there, and we have this Chinese super virus, and you have to run it in the space station and steal this info. And he's like, well, I can't run it. And he's like, yeah, we'll fix you if you do it. Like, you know, it's almost like Escape from New York, right? Where it's like Snake Plissken, like, okay, we're going to give you the disease, and then after you get the president out, we'll give you the cure. Right. So it's like that. It's like, we'll fix you. The fix will kill you. But if you pull off the mission and come back, then we'll permanently fix you. Right. So and then there's a plot twist to the book that's just like mind blowing because you find out what's actually behind everything. And it's like, wow. OK. Bruce Willis was dead the whole time. It's good. Anyway.
Okay, I'll look into it.
You need to make it happen.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make it happen.
But anyway, I feel that Second Life is that vision of William Gibson's cyberspace, right, where we will have an avatar. And also the book Snow Crash. I know you haven't read Snow Crash either.
Nope.
Snow Crash. Oh, God. Snow Crash, you have to read Neuromancer first, because Snow Crash is like a joke on Neuromancer, but it's amazing, right? So in the opening of the book, there's this guy, and his name is Hero Protagonist. I know, right?
What?
And he's a ninja that drives what's essentially the Batmobile, and he delivers pizzas for the mafia. So there you have it. Right. And it starts off with like this 2-chapter-long discussion about this car, which is essentially like a Tron light cycle in car form that like they have this contract where they'll like deliver a pizza anywhere in 15 minutes. Right. So he's got this car that it just does like 300 miles an hour and, you know, can do 90 degree turns and whatever. And then there's it's talking about him on this pizza delivery. And the timer's clicking down on the pizza, right? And he's, like, going to blow it. And if he screws it up, the mob's going to, like, execute him, right? So he can't screw this up. And then there's a girl on a skateboard that, like, throws this harpoon thing and sticks it to the car. And she's, like, what do they call that whenever you're, like, hanging onto a car and, you know, like, hitching a ride on a skateboard? I forget what they call that. But anyway, so she's doing that. And he's like, oh, my God, she's going to take seconds off of me. I got to lose this chick. So he starts, like, trying to kill her. And they end up, like, working together later as the plot gets weirder. There's a killer Eskimo. Think Danny Trejo is an Eskimo.
Okay.
And he's the bad guy. And then there's this guy who's he's like a crazy religious leader, and they've taken an old aircraft carrier and turned it into like a mission, right? And all their cults on that. But then all these people, the poor people with the houseboats and stuff, like went out and started lassoing onto the aircraft carrier. So now it's like a giant floating city, and it travels around the world. And it's, dude, the book's bonkers, but you got to read Neuromancer first. But anyway, yeah, Second Life's kind of like that, but not.
Well, while we're off the topic of space games, folks, we both have a confession to make. We really haven't been playing any space games lately.
No, because there's no space games.
Well, there are. I think I'm just a little – I don't know if I'm burnt out, but other things have been demanding my attention more than space games of late. Yeah. Same with you. You've been playing a lot of this thing called War Thunder.
Head tracking, sir. Head tracking.
I don't know, folks. Jim found this amazing thing where if you buy a $10 used PS3 iCam.
Let me say that again. $10 for the $10. Best damn webcam that you can possibly buy.
It's actually pretty nice. And you install some software and you suddenly have head tracking, face tracking.
Yeah, it's like a track IR, but it costs about $180 less.
Yeah, and there's no funny thing to put on your face or your head. And it works in certain games. Like, it works in – for space games, I haven't tried it yet, but it works in Evercrown Mercenary. But no, it also works
in X-Wing Alliance.
Yeah.
No, seriously. I've seen people use head tracking in that. They patched it in somehow. Uh-huh.
What?
Yep.
Okay, I'll have to figure that out. But
yeah, it's like in that TIE Fighter Rebirth project or whatever, X-Wing Alliance Rebirth. Not to be confused with X Afterbirth. But anyway, you go on.
So there are certain games that use it right out of the box. In my case, I tried it with European Truck Simulator 2 and Wings Over Flanders Field, which we'll talk about in a minute. And it works right out of the box. It's overtly sensitive. Like, I still have to fiddle with it.
Yeah, you got
to
turn the curves down. There's an adjustment thing for that.
Turn them down?
Yeah, right. Yeah, like, you turn your head as far as you think you need to turn it, and then you watch what the maximum in the game is. And you got two monitors now, right? So
no, I only have one.
Okay. Well, that would help if you did. Well, anyway, play the game in a window and then have the other window next to it. And then you can watch where the game is tracking your face and where you reach the maximum amount in the truck, right? Like for the truck game. And it's like when I'm looking out the window, I turn my head this far. I want to turn my head less, right? So you move the maximum amount back a little bit and then you turn your head less.
Oh, that's how that works.
Yeah. Yep. Or if you or if you want it to be less sensitive, then you move the sensitivity out. But it's on a curve too, so you can make it like – and you can set a dead zone – so that it's not all floaty when you're staring straight at the screen. It kind of locks, and then you have to get your head about 5 degrees off center, and then it'll start tracking.
That's what I have to figure out.
But anyway, what it does is it the program is called Face Track No IR. It's completely free, and what it does is the webcam watches your face, and it finds your eyebrows and your chin and your nose, and it tracks those 3 points, and it does full 6 degrees of freedom tracking. So you can like tilt your head to the side. It will tilt in the game. Look up, look down, look left, look right.
You can lean forward and lean back, and it'll know that you're doing that.
And yeah, it's super pimp.
Yeah, it's really impressive for $10.
Let me say that again.
$10. Yeah.
Also, it's the best damn webcam that I've ever seen on a PC. Because my Microsoft LifeCam HD Cinema gets 15 frames a second at like 640 by 480. And it only gets worse when you turn it up to like 720p. So this camera rocks 60 frames a second. It's ultra smooth and it just works.
Yeah. Apparently it has a nice microphone on it too.
Yeah, I haven't tested that out yet, but it's got a giant microphone on it. The microphone's like twice the size of the camera.
The only downside is that if you leave it plugged into USB, there's this really bright, annoying LED.
Yeah.
That's just on all the time.
And the NSA is watching you right now.
Yeah, so you have to – if you don't want that on all the time, you got to unplug it. But right.
Or you can put some tape over the light, or you can put some tape over the lens if you don't want the NSA to watch you when you
broadcast. Oh, that's ghetto. But – so you've been playing a lot of War Thunder.
War Thunder.
Now tell me about War Thunder a bit. Is it purely multiplayer? Is there single player?
There is actually single player. Have you seen the game that was on Gaijin makes it, right? And they have an Xbox game too called Birds of Prey.
I have it for the PS3. I really like it.
Okay, it's the same guys. So if you like that, you like this. And some of the IL2 dev guys are involved in this and whatnot. Right. If not the entire team. I don't know about that. But anyway, so what goes on is you log into the game, and they also had this other game that was on Steam, which I, by the way, strongly discourage anyone from buying because all the content from it is in this game now, which is free. So the other game was called Wings of Prey. Yeah, Wings of Prey. All right. And Wings of Prey, which has like DLC in the middle of the game and stuff. The thing that's annoying about Wings of Prey, it's the same engine pretty much, but all the planes are unlocked at the beginning, except for the DLC ones, which is kind of nice, right? Like if I want to fly a BF-109, I just jump in it and fly it. Right. But the campaign missions are all on a timer, and they're canned missions. It's not like IL-2 where it just generates a mission. So it's like this canned mission, and I'm dogfighting, and it's like, mission over, you lose, you didn't do it in time. And it's like, oh my god, I was doing so good, and then the timer ran out. Whatever. So, anyway, I gave up on that, and I started playing War Thunder, and all those missions are there in it, except that they're not on the shitty timer anymore. Pardon me. So, yeah, so there's that. Also, it has a dynamic campaign if you want to play it single player or co-op.
Now,
dynamic campaign.
Can you save the dynamic campaign and come back to it later?
I don't know. I haven't really monkeyed with it too much, but because it saves your pilot, right?
Well, so that's one of the,
sure.
The problem with Birds of Prey is got all these little dynamic campaigns.
Mm-hmm.
It's great, but you can't save them.
Oh.
So you have to play through the whole thing in like one sitting, and I can't do that.
I don't have
the wherewithal. So. Yeah. That's one of the reasons I didn't have to put much time into it, because that's really frustrating.
Yeah, that's annoying. But anyway, the meat of this game is the online play. So you get in there, and it plays kind of like – well, okay, so the competitor is World of Warplanes. World of Warplanes, I don't – well, I respect it, and I kind of like it. I had some fun with it. It was the gateway drug to get me to play this. But the thing is, it's third-person view only.
Oh,
and I like to be weird. In the cockpit, especially when I got head tracking now. Like, I want to be in the cockpit. And head tracking doesn't work in World of Warplanes. So that sucks. Also, they have but it's kind of similar in that it's a freemium game. So you can pay for customizations to your plane. You can pay to unlock planes faster. Or you can just play the game and things will unlock naturally, right? So you have experience bars on different components of your plane in War Thunder. So it's like you start out in a biplane, which is pretty cool, you know, and it's you're like on the tail of World War I technology leading into World War II. So you've got those old biplanes, and then you start getting the pre-World War II fighters, and then it, you know, advances up into the real deal. And they're split into tiers, so you get matched with people that are in the same tier of plane. So it's not like, I'm in a biplane and that guy's in a UFO. Oh, no. actually finding that I have more fun in the biplanes, because once you get into the other fighters, they're so differentiated by tactics. You know, it's like the American planes. I got a P-400 right now. Mm-hmm. The P-400 is like a bullet. It's super fast, but boy, it doesn't turn. So it's great for boom and zoom. Like, you know, you get way up over somebody and you see somebody down there and you dive on them and then you climb back up before they can chase you, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's good for that. If you want to play dogfights where you just get in there and turn real hard, then play the Japanese planes, because that's what they do. But they can't climb for crap. So
that
was kind of the reason the American planes were developed that way. And the Germans, because in the war we had bombers, right? And the bombers would fly over the channel and bomb Germany or, you know. So we had to have fighters that would fly way high and have a long loiter time so that they could escort the bombers over, all right? And so that's what our stuff is designed for, is very high-altitude fighting. And then with the Japanese, we had planes that could take off of carriers, get up to altitude, and then drop on the Japanese and get the hell out of there. So, and the Japanese were all about doing turn fighting, and you didn't want to do that with them. because they'd win. So, yeah, and that's kind of how it plays out in the game, too. Like, if you get caught down in the weeds and you're getting chased around by a zero, you're dead. Hmm. You have made the wrong choice if you try to turn with a zero. But anyway, so the game's really cool. I joined a squad. This is a thing that I've not done in a long time, like since Call of Duty Modern Warfare 1 was the last time I played in a league. And then I joined The Art of Warfare, TAW.net. They're recruiting right now. So if you tell them Azeroth sent you, I don't know, maybe I get a cookie or something. But it's fun. So they have squad practice on Sunday night and Tuesday night, you know, for like an hour. We got in there tonight and shot each other a little bit. It's fun. And it's nice that there are enough people playing that game that you don't have to wait. You know, it's like I sat in the lobby for maybe like 2 minutes. You know, you click like I'm ready to fly. Pow, you're in the lobby. Oh, and the other thing is, too, you can play it on 3 difficulty levels as far as fidelity goes. So you can play it on straight up arcade. And arcade, you could probably – I know people play it with the mouse and keyboard. You can also play it with like an Xbox gamepad. That'll work just fine. If you get into the higher fidelity stuff, like realistic mode, you probably want a joystick for that. Although I do know a couple guys in the squad that still use mouse and keyboard. They claim that it's easier to aim, but it's tougher to do like sustained turns and stuff because you got to be like dragging the mouse. But then if you play – you can play like full real sim style. And that is like playing Aces High, which is a $15 a month subscription game.
Right.
That does the same thing. I really like it. I mean, Aces High still has its own place. And it's – see, I started out playing Air Warrior on AOL back in the day.
That's, oh, I remember. Of course. Yeah.
So that's an extension of Air Warrior. It's like the same game, actually, just with modern graphics. But yeah, so that's Aces High over at hightechcreations.com, and I like it, but it's $15 a month, and I've just kind of been away from flying for a long time, so I wasn't so much doing that.
You're not the only one.
So, yeah, it's been a while. But then this one sucked me back in, because it's like, oh, I can jump in arcade mode and just tool around and abuse the noobs, because if you know how to fly and you're in arcade mode, and you know you're fighting a bunch of guys that are trying to fumble with a gamepad, yeah, you're pretty much going to win. But but the thing was, I was trying to play the game, and it just kind of sucked, right? Like the view system, I'm using like the hat to look around, and I finally figured out how to adjust it to my liking, so I'm kind of back to using the hat most of the time. But when I turned the head tracking on, I went from getting like 2 kills in a match before I'd get killed to getting like 6. That's how dramatic of a difference the head tracking made, because I see everything around me now.
Wow.
So it's really good. But yeah, so that's fun. But yeah, so I joined this league, which is actually like a commitment now. So I got to show up twice a week.
Oh, really?
Ugh. Yeah. Yeah, it's like a league thing. They're going to be...
I have no interest in that.
Yeah. But I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And they play everything. I mean, that's if you go to their website, TAW.net, they
play... TAW?
Yeah. It's The Art of Warfare is their site. But they play, I mean, like if there's a combat game, they play it. And they play StarCraft and stuff like that too. But they actually have, you know, they're in leagues with stuff. So it's kind of neat. And they play MechWarrior. Although I'm done with MechWarrior, by
the way. Yeah, I heard about that.
Okay. So they came out with, of course, the $500 gold mechs, and that was offensive. And then they didn't have a patch like all month of December, right? There was like one minor thing that came out, some hitbox fixes. But there's brutally broken stuff in the game, like terribly broken things. And then they come out with their patch, first patch of the new year. Hey, guys, we didn't fix anything, but here's a shiny new mech that costs $30. And I was just like, all right, we're done. So they're never getting another dime of my money. I mean, I paid them $110, I think, for the Founders kit. I got the full-on Founders kit. And then I gave them like another $80 for the Phoenix mechs. And they've just, you know, they pooped on me. And I'm done. So.
Jeez.
Yep. I do still love Battletech, though. I have a soft spot in my heart for the mechs.
No, I love mechs, but it sounds like they're doing that all wrong.
Yeah.
Which is a shame.
Sounds like you're doing dishes.
Oh, yeah. Someone is doing dishes.
Well, good. Somebody's got to do it. So,
but someone's also pouring me wine. Thank you very much.
Yes. Oh, wait. You're too far away. I can't have any wine.
I've been drinking. No, you. Sorry. It'd probably freeze on the way over there, even if I send it to you.
You know, I went out to see the chickens today, and the cold weather is apparently really good for eggs.
They're still outside, isn't that?
Yeah, dude. No, I got a heat lamp out there.
Oh.
There's this modern scientific gadget that whenever it gets under 35 degrees, it kicks on, and it'll stay on until it's 45 in there. So it keeps them warm all night. And then I got a lot of bedding in there, and they're all happy.
Okay,
But they started – it got cold as hell, man, like super cold, and then they start laying eggs. I don't know what that's about. They hadn't done anything. So it's crazy. Maybe it's just like it froze them out of them.
I don't know. Maybe they couldn't like hold it anymore.
I guess, yeah. They were like, damn, it's cold. Plop, plop, eggs.
So it's funny you mentioned World War I plans because that's what I've been playing.
Yeah, Flanders, man. So tell me about that. It's like a kind of super dynamic campaign model.
Oh, my God. So it's basically like – remember the SIT flight sims of the 90s where
– No, I was on a lot of drugs in the 90s.
Right. Well, you might remember some of them. They had amazing dynamic campaigns where you were a pilot in a war and you felt like you were kind of living out a story, like a part – like I felt like –
I was
like
there, dude. I was there. Also yeah. drugs. But anyway, go ahead.
No, I felt like the older Sims got a good combination, not only of flight modeling and, you know, fidelity and shit, but also character and world building and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, that's been a thing that's been sorely lacking in games.
Exactly.
Like, especially with Eagle Dynamics and the things that they've done, which they've done amazing stuff. Like, you remember Falcon 4 back in the day?
Of course.
Like a telephone book?
Of course,
They'd had a nice dynamic campaign and stuff like that, right? So it had things going on. So now they have like the A-10 sim, which is a game that, oh, God, I wanted so bad for so long. But it's so very dry because it's an excellent technical study in great depth.
Exactly.
It is a wonderful technical study. However, if I have to go in and make my own missions – that's stupid.
What? No.
So, I mean, it's got like, what, I don't know, 10 or 15 missions.
That's it?
Yeah, something like that for, per plane that's in the whole, whatever they call that, their digital combat world or whatever. But it's just like, okay, so they have these wonderful planes and they're modeled in more detail than my brain can process, which is also sort of an obstacle to me playing the game.
Exactly.
That's why I gravitate back to World War II stuff. It's like,
stick
a throttle and let's go.
Well, that's one of the reasons I was attracted to this game, because it seemed to promise the amazing world building and character and everything of those older Sims, but, you know, much more technically proficient. It's basically a super mod or a mega mod for Microsoft's Combat Flight Simulator 3.
Now, that's shocking. Why is that old game?
It was built on that, apparently, because that game had a pretty good dynamic campaign on its own as well.
Yeah, and now Flanders Field's been around for a long time. This isn't a new mod.
No. This is the newest version, but it was just called Over Flanders Field. It's been around for 3 or 4 years, I think.
Oh, really? I thought it was older than that, like 2006, 2007.
I'm not sure. Maybe it is, but this new one came out December. And it's fully priced, but it
how much
gives
is
you
fully priced?
$60. $60, but
that's six times more than my webcam.
It gives you 55 planes right out of the bat.
You mean you don't have to buy them individually?
Not like Rise of Flight. No,
you mean they're not $29 each?
No, you just get them. But it's great because what you do is you basically create a pilot, and you can go through training or not. I chose a British pilot for my first pilot, and I went through training. And basically, they have you follow your instructor. They have you fly around the airfield. They have you land. They have you do all kinds of stuff before you can even get into combat. And so you build up your flying time, you know, like you would expect to. And then you eventually get into combat missions. So my first pilot was a British pilot in the early part of the war. And he was assigned to a reconnaissance squadron. So a lot of my flights were flying around and running away from shit. And so the game is good. I haven't played a flight sim since like IL-2, Like, it's been that long.
I haven't played a flight sim since Isle 2 either, because I was just playing it right before we talked.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I fired it back up again. But anyway, do go on.
So, the nice thing is it has all these aids. It has a tactical view that shows you everything around you. You can select targets, and it'll show you where they are. And it's got a great autopilot that'll fly for you, basically. So I've been kind of using that to get a feel for the plane. Like, I'll fly a little bit myself, let the autopilot take over. Because I've never been the greatest at formation flying, and this game, like, demands formation flying. But it's nice because the tactical view kind of tells you where to go. Like, follow this red line and get into your formation position. Go up 3 meters. Slow down to the speed. Yeah, it tells you exactly what you need to do.
So you can turn on the training wheels.
Basically. And for me, for a new pilot like me, or for a rusty pilot like me, that's great because I needed that.
Mm.
So I was doing that for a while. But the nice thing about it is when you're using the autopilot, you get to like look around. And like this game has this kind of observer mode. You can hit a button and you can like cycle through other units on the battlefield, and you can see tanks.
Oh, I love that stuff.
And you can see tanks doing their thing. You can see infantry units doing their thing.
You know what that reminds me of is Apache. Was it Comanche Hokum?
Yes.
Apache Havoc.
Yes.
How you
yes.
just put it on. That was my screensaver, man. I just be like, I got to do something else. Well, I'll fire that game up and just like turn the dynamic camera on, and it's like watching a war movie.
Kind of, yeah. So the beautiful thing is the sound is amazing. And for Christmas, I got these new headphones that I'm using right now, the Plantronic ones that you have.
You sound really good on those, by the way.
They're wonderful. I'm going to be using these exclusively, I think, from now on. I don't see a reason not to. I mean, they're just – thank you. They're wonderful. But they have this Dolby mode, and this game uses that. So like far off in the distance, you'll see these little flashes, and a second later you'll hear the thunder of the artillery. Like boom, boom.
Oh, that's cool. So it actually kind of delays the sound behind
For like a nanosecond, but there is a delay.
Oh, that makes it great.
Oh, it's amazing. And then you'll fly around. You'll fly like – you'll be doing recon over an enemy airfield. And if you fly low enough, you'll start seeing the flak around you, but you'll hear it too. And so even if you don't see it, if it's off to the side, you'll hear it off to the side.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll look and you'll see the little like burnt cloud of where the flak was. So you just hear all around you. It's like – oh my God, this is incredible. I flew about 6 missions as that pilot. And on my last mission, which I actually flew entirely manually for the first time, that was amazing because it finally all clicked. I got shot down by a squad of German pilots.
But it took a whole squad to get you.
No, they got two other guys before they got me.
Yeah.
But it's just amazingly immersive. And you'll actually like it. Really, it models weather and it models all this stuff. Like it goes day by day. So like you'll do a mission, then it'll go to the next day, and you might not fly the next day because the weather's bad. And you'll go the next day. And another cool thing is like I got my first kill, or so I thought. But you actually have to write a report. Like you have to write, this person witnessed me do this, and this is what I shot down. Then that report has to be verified.
Oh.
If it's not verified, you don't get credit for that kill.
So who verifies it?
Your superiors, I guess. But you can turn that off as well if you just want to be given instant credit. So I have a lot of stuff on and a lot of stuff off because I want the immersion, but I don't want the realism yet.
Yeah.
So I have like dead is dead on. Mm-hmm. And I have like have to submit a report on, for example, because I want that immersion. But I have the flight model set to basic right now because I'm still pretty rusty.
Yeah.
But it's very tweakable, very, very tweakable. And I've just been – I've probably put about 15 hours into it so far.
I have a movie suggestion for you. Have you ever seen Flyboys? It's from 2006.
I haven't seen it, but I own it.
Oh. Well, there you go. They'll save you renting it. Yeah. So now's the time, sir. Now is the time because you've got Flanders Field on the brain.
I think you would dig this. I really think you would. And the developers – are very proactive. They've been putting out tons of patches. They've put out 10 patches since this thing came out a month ago.
Oh, wow.
And they're also very active over on the SimHQ forums where I've been hanging out, learning more about the game. But, yeah, this game is goddamn amazing. It really is incredible.
Wow, very cool. I'll have to check it out.
Oh, yeah, you do definitely check it out. So, folks, that's kind of what we've been playing and kind of our quick look at the year. That was 2013. Let's hope 2014 is a better year. I mean,
has to be better. Isn't Elite coming out this year?
I think Elite is coming out this year. We're probably going to get more playable stuff with Star Citizen.
Yeah. Some playable stuff. Did they ever come out with the dogfight thing they were talking about?
No, they delayed it because they wanted to get the network infrastructure properly in place. You know what? That's fine with me. That is fine.
well, let's look. So we got Eve Valkyrie is coming out, which is going to actually finally bring direct control dogfighting to Eve Online. Then there's Project Entropy.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that one yet.
No, and then Ethereum. I love Ethereum.
Oh, yeah. Excited about Ethereum. Excited about Starpoint Gemini 2. That should be coming out this year. Star Ruler 2, I think, is coming out this year.
Yeah, we got some Last Federation that's coming up.
Last Federation, definitely. I don't know about Rodina, but that's been fun, so who knows. Yeah. But it's alpha right now. Infinite Space 3 will probably be coming out this year.
Right. Star Ruler 2.
Yeah, so it's looking, knock on wood, and that's actual wood, to be a pretty decent year from this early vantage point.
Well, and one thing that we don't have on our list, and I'm okay with that, but we don't have all the early access stuff that's actually out there in the wild right now. You can go buy it, you know, play it's not done.
Well, so what I added to this list was stuff that we first learned about this past year.
Yeah.
So there were games that are still early access, but they came out in 2012, 2011. So I tried to have a list of stuff we discovered in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
That's what that is. I probably should have worded that better.
Yeah.
But
there's like that new 4X game I can't remember the name of. It's up on Steam. It's like a
Horizon?
Yeah, Horizon.
There's another one. That's coming. Star Lords. There's another one that just came out recently. Star Lords, I think, just came into early access as well. I'm trying to keep my expectations tempered, but hopefully this year will be a good year. I mean, 2013, we forgot to mention one very important thing. 2013 is when we started this podcast.
Oh, yes.
That's right. And that
when did we start that? In like March?
February. Late February. February. Yeah.
We're coming up on an anniversary.
That's right. We got to talk about what we're going to do for that. But that couldn't have happened without you, man. I mean, it was your idea, and you're the one that does the hard work of editing the damn thing.
Well, it's actually no work at all. I just sort of hit save. That's kind of what happens.
I'm sure it's got to be more work than that. I mean, you put the music stings at the beginning and the end, and you probably take out some random shit every now and again that has to be taken out.
On occasion. You know? But yeah. So, yeah, thanks, man.
So, no, thank you. I mean, this podcast, I mean, I never really thought I would do one, but it's been insanely enjoyable. And it's actually been a great thing, because if we hadn't done this, I might not have engaged with the site ever for weeks every now and again, because sometimes I get burnt out. Sometimes I get tired. You know, sometimes I just want to be a gamer and not a blogger, you know? And this podcast has really helped keep me engaged with the site more than I might have been otherwise.
Yeah, and we've met a lot of really cool people.
We've talked to a lot of every guest we've had has been fantastic.
Especially the ones named Paul.
Especially all the Pauls. We're all about Paul.
Wall to wall Paul. So, you know, that's another thing that we need to bring up, is that we did have this year the first induction into the Paul of Fame.
Which Paul was that? The last Paul?
Yeah. Paul Lauzon.
Lauzon. Yeah, it's like it was French or something.
Yeah.
I can't remember now. Yeah, I got to work on the Paul of Fame. I got to make it all like award looking and stuff when I have time. But anyway, folks, 2013 was a pretty decent year, but it was made better by pretty much all of you listening.
Except for that guy.
Yeah, that guy over there.
Yeah, see that guy?
He's surfing on Amazon right now and not really paying attention to what we're saying. Fuck you, Bella. I don't appreciate you paying half-assed attention to us. No. He's kidding.
oh my!
Go buy your hand vac another time. We're talking.
Oh my god, he saw me on Amazon.
No, actually, we were doing research for hand vacuums last night. So not what you think, pervert.
Wow.
What?
So did you ever watch? Did they have Romper Room when you were a kid?
Oh yeah.
Right,
oh,
and then they had like the fuck magic out of Romper Mirror. Room.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
I used to sit there in front of the TV. Jim is a very common name, but she never said Jim. It was always like Billy and Bobby and Shaquan and.
Well, she said, you know, Brian a few times because Brian is a very common name.
I never got a Jim.
Never a Jim?
No, I must have just not been watching on the right days.
Not even a James?
Nope.
What?
Nope.
Look that up.
I think I was.
I love the crap out of Romper Room.
You know what's amazing? What just came to me thinking about that? Do you remember the bee?
The bee?
Yeah, they had a big bee that was on there. That was like the mascot.
Are you sure you're not thinking of Picture Pages?
No, it was Romper Room.
Okay, because
they had regional Romper Rooms.
No, Picture Pages had the pen that was a giant bee or something. Remember that?
No, this was a guy in a bee suit and he wanted to dance around. He was like Barney the dinosaur, but he was.
Oh yeah, okay, I remember now. Yeah.
Do you remember what his name was?
No.
It was Doobie, and this was in the 70s. So I think that was one of those little adult jokes, Doobie.
Dude, you want to see an adult joke? All you have to do is watch H&R Puffin stuff,
or
the Banana Splits. If you just want to see an adult joke played on all of us.
One banana, two banana, three banana, four. Yeah, I remember that. The Sid and Marty Krofft Super Show on.
La 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 la.
Yeah, or the Rainbow Twangers. You should YouTube that.
Sid and Marty Krofft, I hated them because Land of the Lost fucked me up as a child.
It
really fucked me up as a child. It scared the bejesus out of me. The bejesus. What were those alien things with the big eyes?
Yeah, Slee Stacks. I went to school with a kid that looked like Chaka.
Oh, no.
He was like a little Wookiee.
Did everyone call Chaka? No. People make fun of him? Okay.
Not to his face, because he looked like Chaka.
He will fuck you up.
That's right. He was all hairy.
Or help you get fucked up. Anyway, folks, thank you so much for making 2013 an awesome year, and I raise my wine glass to all of you in a toast and hope that 2014 will be even better, gaming-wise.
And in 2014,
everywhere.
Brian is going to – here's your New Year's resolutions. You're going to read Neuromancer.
Read Neuromancer.
You're going to watch New Road.
I thought you were going to say drink on every podcast. That's what I thought you were going to say.
Well, that works too. You're going to watch New Rose Hotel. And you're going to get on YouTube and look immediately after the show, before you get off Skype, you're gonna look up Rainbow Twanger.
Rainbow? That sounds dirty.
It's a children's show. It's an excerpt from a children's show.
I don't even remember this. Wait a minute. Hang on. Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Maybe I do remember this.
No, it was a British thing.
It was a British thing.
Unless you're a young British lad from the 70s, you don't remember this.
Since you were in Ohio, did you get that, what was it, WGN or whatever, that station from Chicago that had Bozo the Clown? Did you get Bozo the Clown?
No, we didn't have that. We had Barnaby.
I remember Barnaby,
Super
yeah.
Host. You had Barnaby?
That sounds familiar.
Oh, the guy in the little straw hat.
Yes.
It was like, yeah, dude, that was TV8 out of Cleveland that you were getting. Channel 43.
Okay, it looks like there's a hippo and an alligator taking a bath.
Ah, yes, you're in the right place.
What the hell is this? Oh, God, and the young man is wearing a rainbow sweater.
Yeah, because it's rainbow.
Dude, have you seen Bungles, Twanga? Oh, God.
No, you have to listen to it, dude.
Okay, I'll listen to it later. Oh, my God, that's crazy. But I did find one.
It turns into filth. It's amazing.
Okay, well, folks, thank you for listening to the first show of 2014, where we looked back at 2014 and then talked about a bunch of non-space stuff. Didn't bore you. But I'm trying to figure out guests. I'm trying to figure out topics. So I'm not sure what we'll be doing next week, but I sure as hell hope it'll be fun.
And if you want to be on the show and you have a lot of money, just send a check to Brian, and we'll get it taken care of.
One out of two of those things is true. But the money part. No, anyway, I'm a little tipsy. Darn the wine. Anyway, have a good night, everyone.
All right, good night.
Good night.
Let's have some music in here, Boiler. Sure thing.
A big sunshine down, but I the only.